Let us turn tonight, please, in our Bibles to the New Testament and to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, if you have a Bible, then please turn in it and let's read the Holy Scriptures together. While you are turning to it, let me thank Mr. Greer, Mr. Stewart, very much indeed for this opportunity to preach the Word tonight in this broadcast. It is always a great privilege and honor to be asked to say a word for Jesus Christ and to open the Word of God. And I want to thank them and thank God and trust that the Lord will bless the Word tonight, His truth as it goes forth in these days. Ephesians chapter 2, let us turn to there and reading together, please, from verse number 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1, let us hear the Word of God. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of His Word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. And having read the Scriptures, let us just take a moment. Still our hearts. All too soon the benediction will be pronounced. All too soon the broadcast will end. And therefore let all who know the Lord pray in these moments that as this message is brought, that God will come. Visit every heart wherever they're watching, wherever they're listening. Oh dear believer, the Word of God is not bound. Let us pray. Let us all seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of His blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy, and we come into Thy presence in Christ and through Him. And we draw back near by that new and living way, which Christ has consecrated for us, through the veil which is to say His flesh. And we give now this meeting again into Thy hands, fully aware of our need for the Holy Ghost to take this word and apply it wherever it's listened to tonight or at another occasion. We give this now into Thy hands. And Father, before heaven and before Thy holy throne, I confess my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in this broadcast. Forgive my sins, for they are many. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Grant that anointing, that holy baptism, which God alone does give, the anointing to preach, the anointing to hear with profit. Bind the devil in the moments that will follow. Let the blood of the Lamb prevail, and may Christ be exalted, and may He save of the travail of his soul, and be abundantly satisfied. Hear prayer now. in heaven, thy holy dwelling place. For we ask this in Jesus' name and plead it upon the merits of redeeming blood. Amen. Amen. It was a place of great sin, a place given over to the worship of its goddess, Diana. It was the chief place of the then Asia Minor. This city's population was about 600,000 people. Yes, 600,000, among whom sorcery, black magic, black arts were very common things. A city where people walked according to the ways of darkness, or as the Holy Ghost tells us in Ephesians 2, walked according to the prince of the power of the air. A place that lay in sin and nature's darkness, and in the slumber of death. A place where families lived in this darkness. A place where families hoped in the goddess Diana for life, for death, for eternity. A place where people were dead in sin. Their conduct, again, as the Holy Ghost shows us in this chapter, tells us was lust, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Sadly, a place where for generations people died without a light to cheer the tomb. Or if I could put it like this, without Christ, who alone cheers the tomb. You see, such is the awful end of those whose hope in life and death and eternity is not Jesus Christ. They die without a light to cheer the tomb. Of course, I am speaking about the city of Ephesus. This book of Ephesians was written to believers there. But there was a day in Ephesus that God sent a preacher. A preacher who would preach and preach and preach and preach about a person called Jesus Christ, who alone could give them hope in life, death, and eternity. Because the Bible is very clear, dear people, as you listen to this broadcast, for all who remain unsaved, for all who remain out of Christ, there is no hope in life, in death, or eternity. Verse 12 tells us that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Oh, note those words, that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. Paul is referring to a time in these people's lives and saying to them, the way you were, the way you used to be before conversion, you were without hope. And I want to speak tonight, for the time that remains, on a message that I have entitled, When God Says of Hope, There Is None. When God says there is no hope. The first thing I want to show you is this, the word hope. The word hope, it means a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Let me repeat that. A feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. That is one definition of the word hope. Since that is one of the definitions of the word hope, to have no hope means all expectation gone. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, where we have read tonight, Paul is speaking of the state of men and women without Christ, these people at a time previous in their lives, before conversion, and reminding them in that condition there was no hope. And the first thing I want to think about with you tonight, taking that thought, is this. Out of Christ, dear friend, as you watch this broadcast, there's no hope in life. Dear unsaved, I want you to understand, your situation tonight can rightly be described as terrifying. Death is a breath away. And God is telling you before it comes, you have no hope. Verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world. The diagnosis is, to put it like that, you have no hope. The reason, you are without Christ. The diagnosis, you have no hope. The reason for no hope is you don't have Jesus Christ. It's the most awful diagnosis on earth. no hope without Christ. Remember the setting here. Paul is speaking to those who are now saved, and he's reminding them what they were out of Christ. They were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 1 tells us. Verse 2 tells us they walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Verse 3 tells us they were children of wrath. Verse 15 tells us they were at enmity with God. And verse 12 tells us they were without hope. And dear unsaved, I enter your living room tonight, or your car, or wherever you're listening, or wherever you're watching from, by means of this broadcast. And there's something you need to know. You see, when you think about broadcasts in these days in which we're passing, there are many broadcasts. The Prime Minister will address the nation on a live broadcast. Our Queen will address her people in a live broadcast. But here's a broadcast that you need to give particular attention to, because God is bringing a word from His holy book. It's a broadcast like none other, to tell you that the mind of God toward you is that while you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, there is no hope. Now, dear friend, in your living room tonight, or as you sit there with your feet up watching this message, you need to listen to this message. You were born into this world in Adam, cut off. Let's just go there a moment. Back to the Garden of Eden. Back to Eden's garden. In the Garden of Eden, God made a covenant with Adam, the covenant of works. It was a covenant with promise: obey me, live forever, disobey me, and you will die. And when Adam sinned and broke the law of God that was written in his heart, in that act of high treason and high rebellion against his Maker, Adam and the entire race whom he represented were driven out of the Garden of Eden, out of that place of communion, out of that place of walking with God. They were driven out of his presence. But not only did God drive us out in Adam, he drove us out of his presence, out of his peace, yes. But Genesis 3, verse 24, and we'll not take time to turn to it. Let me just tell you what happened. In Genesis 3, 24, we are told what happened. God placed, after he drove Adam out and all mankind in Adam, God placed at the east of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That flaming sword in the hand of Christ. The sword speaks of divine justice, the justice of God, telling Adam and those he represented, us, all mankind, by him, that there is no way back by man's efforts. And dear unsaved, Paul was reminding these people in Ephesus that that's the way they were born. They were in Adam. They were out of Christ. They were cut off. That was their condition. That was their condition. Those people that he had told, you used to walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Their lifestyle, that they were under this dominion. They walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, the great deceiver of the race, the great deceiver of mankind. And there are too many of his deceptions and his delusions to go into tonight. But if I could very briefly, just in a couple of minutes, dear unsaved, as you listen to this message, you say, I know nothing of the devil's deceptions. Dear people, you do. Listen to these deceptions. Let me give you some. Let me give you seven. You don't need Christ. Delusion. You desperately need him. Don't get saved yet. Delusion. God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Sure, there's no hell. Delusion. Bible says there is a hell to gain and a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You can get saved at another time. Delusion. You might not have another time. Sure, Christ isn't the only way to heaven. Delusion. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. When you're dead, you're dead. Death's the end of everything. Dear people, delusion. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the final one, and we've heard them all till we're blue in the face, to believe you can sort your salvation out after death. Delusion. Delusion. Salvation, heaven, is determined on earth by what you do with Jesus that's called the Christ. And without him, there is no hope. No hope in life. Secondly, without Christ, no hope in death. Verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world, with the thought being someday you will have to leave the world. You will have to leave the world. Go to the book of Job with me, please. Job chapter 18. And just look with me there at two verses. Again, if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, just listen. Job chapter 18 and verse 17 and 18. Let me tell you what it says. Speaking of the death of the unsaved, his remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. It's speaking about the sinner who died in sin, and he's driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world, and still without Christ, and still without God, and still without hope. Oh, man and woman, listen tonight on the mind of the Holy Ghost on the death of the sinner. He's chased out of the world, driven from light into darkness. The word driven, it means expelled. Expelled from light into darkness and chased out of the world. You see, we always hear it, and you have always heard it. We hear so much today about living for the moment. And the Bible does make it clear that time on earth is but a moment. But would somebody please answer tonight before God, what do you do when the moment ends? Because the Bible does make it clear we're here but just for a moment. And the word moment, it gives the sense of brevity, of briefness, of something that's temporal. Henry Francis Light, in his great hymn, when he came near the end of his life, he said, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, I say to you tonight, unsaved friend, what happens when the moment ends? What happens when it ends? And there's no tomorrow. The question is never answered. If tomorrow never comes, your moment is over and you are in eternity and you have been chased out of the world. You've been expelled out of the world. Your time on the world's stage is over. And the final curtain has come down. And you've lived without Christ and you've died without Christ. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of James, that little epistle again. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, I'll read it to you. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. James 4 verse 13, and there we read, go to now. It really means attention, attention. The Lord is getting the attention of the people. And then verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Attention, attention. Final curtains descending on us all. And some watching this broadcast have lived without Christ. And if they die tonight, you're going to die without Christ. You're going to be chased out of the world. You're going to be expelled out of the world. Oh, think of the flood in Noah's day. Jesus stood there as he preached after that flood 2,000 years later. And he tells us there in Matthew's gospel, the flood came and took them all away. The judgment came. Sodom, fire and brimstone came. They were expelled out of the world. Pharaoh, that day as he chased Moses and the children of Israel, and he and the might of Egypt went down into the Red Sea, and the Bible tells us that the sea closed, and you understand what happened. Pharaoh was expelled out of the world. He was chased from light into darkness. Oh, the awful end of one that lives without Christ and dies without Christ. He will be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Dear unsaved friend, think about the awfulness of that moment when God expels you from earth and you've lived without Christ and you've died without Christ, without hope. As Paul's telling us here in Ephesians chapter 2, no hope in life, no hope in death, that is out of Christ. Thirdly, no hope at the judgment. Come with me in your mind to the book of the Revelation. John's in Patmos, exiled for the gospel. And he's there all alone, but God is with him. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And though he was there alone, he kept up his communion with God. And he was there to close the canon. He was there to write the final book of divine inspiration. And the book's closed. And near the end of the revelation, he said this, writing by inspiration, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word whosoever, let me explain to you who he's speaking about. Whosoever refers to those who have died without Christ. They have lived without Christ. And now this day has come and they've appeared at judgment. And there's still no hope. They're unsaved. You live without Christ. You die without Christ. Go to judgment without Christ, and upon that throne you will see Christ. Get it clear, for all meet him as sure as you're sitting in your living room right now, my friend. And I am so glad you are listening to this message. I'm so glad you tune into these broadcasts. But as sure as you're sitting in that living room, you are going to meet Jesus Christ. You're going to meet him. And would somebody please tell me how on earth you're going to meet that Christ? You've lived without him. You've died without him. And you meet him in the judgment. How on earth are you going to do that? Oh, don't be mistaken, my friend. As death finds you, judgment will receive you. There once was a Puritan preacher. I remember reading him in death. And this is what he said. At death, we leave behind all we have. And we take with us all we are. Oh, dear sinner, see it. My dear friend, as you watch this broadcast or listen to it, when death comes, you leave behind all you have and you take with you all you are and you go out to meet God. And I say to you solemnly, seriously, you're meeting Christ. Let me make this clear. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast, saved or unsaved, we will meet Christ. For those that are saved, we'll meet him and we'll worship him and we'll bow down before him. But we all meet him. You've lived without Christ, unsaved friend, and no hope. You've died without Christ and no hope. You've appeared for judgment without Christ and no hope. And you enter hell and no hope. Oh yes, on earth, sin had its pleasure. But now it's damned you. Do you see the terrifying position you're in? God wants it to be clear tonight as you listen to this message. You remain out of Christ, there's no hope. There's no hope. Life without Christ, no hope. Death without Christ, no hope. Judgment without Christ, no hope. You say, preacher, I don't have Christ. Is there any hope? Yes. Yes, there's hope. While you live and Christ lives at the right hand of God, there's hope. Because of the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, there's hope. Remember Paul. Let's go back to what I said at the beginning. Remember Paul is writing here to people who once had no hope because they didn't have Christ. But a preacher came. A man came with the Scriptures and he told them of Jesus, the mighty to save. He told them of the one that had saved him in the Damascus Road. He held up the sufficiency of the great atonement to save any sinner that would come. He took that message to Ephesus, and the city knew a breath from heaven. And Paul reminds these same people who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to the prince of the power of the air, who were the children of wrath, even as others, who at a time in their life had no hope, he reminds them, but God, who's rich in mercy. Verse 7, the exceeding riches of God's grace. Verse 5, for by grace ye are saved. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Verse 8, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, O dear unsaved friend. It's the marvel of grace. By grace you can be saved tonight and enter into a sure and certain hope. There once was an American theologian, American Presbyterian. His name was the Reverend Charles Hodge. He died in Princeton, New Jersey in the year 1878. And he said this of the sinner: their deliverance from that state of sin is due to the power and the unmerited love of God alone. They neither deserved to be saved nor could they redeem themselves, but it was by grace they were saved. The unmerited favor of God. Dear unsaved, listen. The grace of God gives the sinner a sure and certain hope and saves all who come to Christ. But you've got to come. I care not your sin tonight. You turn from it. Flee to Christ. And tonight, Christ, your Savior, will be. Wherever you're listening in from, somewhere across the town here of Ballymena, the villages of Cullibacky, Hockle, Brasheen, Kells, wherever you are, further afield, England, Scotland, Wales, further afield, turn from sin tonight. The gospel still goes out. Embrace the Christ presented in this book. And Christ tonight, your Savior will be. And you pass from a position of no hope into a position of a sure and certain hope. But you must come to Him. You think of the man that wrote this book, Saul of Tarsus. Wrote this letter to the Ephesians, a terror to the church, a terror everywhere he went. For there was a day in Saul of Tarsus' life, he met the living Christ, and he realized he was in trouble with God. And that day in the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus came to faith in a living Redeemer. He turned from sin. And he arose and he followed Christ. And today he's with Christ. That's what the grace of God does in the life of a sinner. It makes him a new creature in Christ. He loves what once he hated, and he hates what once he loved. Oh, the power of the grace of God. I remember a man 22 years ago in this town spent a day in the drink. And that night, God saved him and changed him. That night, he was born of God. He came just as he was. And let me say this emphatically from this pulpit. There's not a power in sin that is strong enough that the blood of Christ can't break. There's not a power in sin that the grace of God can't subdue. Dear unsaved friend, tonight listen. We believe the blood of Christ breaks the power of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. We believe tonight that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And maybe tonight you sit in your living room and your mind taunts you about sin. Yea, sin years ago. My dear friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. But you must come to him. Because you could know the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And if you never come cleansed, you will never be. Oh, my friends, see tonight your great need of Christ. By grace you're saved through faith, Paul told them. There was a day in these people's lives something marvelous happened. They were given that gift of faith to embrace Christ, freely offered in the gospel. The question is this: will you come? Tonight be brought nigh by the blood of Christ. You say, preacher, what about my sin? My dear friend, the blood of Christ will cleanse from sin. What about my guilt, preacher? The righteousness of Christ will cover your guilt. Christ lived that life of perfect obedience. Oh, think with me just a moment as I close. That day when our Lord came in the incarnation, took into union with his own Godhead, a true humanity, and lived 33 years without sin, knew no sin in him, was no sin, couldn't sin. And every step that Jesus Christ took from the manger to the cross, he took it for sinners. He loved his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. He loved his neighbor as himself. Oh, my friend, there was only one. Let me tell you what Christ said. John's gospel. He said, he, speaking of his Father, he that sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Why did he do it? Every step he took from sin for sinners. And then he went to the cross of Calvary, took the penalty for his people's sin, paid it in full, and out of the darkness of Golgotha's brow came that cry, it is finished. Finished the work of redemption. Finished the work the Father gave him to do. Finished divine justice satisfied. Finished divine wrath propitiated. And the sword of justice to all that flee to Christ lies sheathed in atoning blood. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. Come to him the 10th of May 2020. Come and be saved. Come and be pardoned. Come and be forgiven. What beautiful words. Gospel words. Where but the gospel do you get those words? Pardoned. forgiven, saved, brought nigh, accepted by God, declared righteous, brought from a state of no hope into a state of sure and certain hope, a hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Sinner, will you come to Christ tonight? Right now in your living room. I'm pausing. Right now. God says, without my Son, there's no hope. But my friend, in Christ, there's a sure and certain hope. There's pardon, peace, love, brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Will you come? Will you come to Christ? Maybe I speak to one and you long for peace. And that conscience smites you. Ah, friend, let your conscience come to rest neath the atoning blood, and the Spirit witness with the blood that you've been born above, that your sins are all forgiven, and have peace with God tonight. In closing, many times in this church, we sing words penned by the Reverend Horatius Bonner, Scottish Presbyterian, in the 1800s. And he penned these words, I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice and I of peace with God. 'Tis everlasting peace. Sure as Jehovah's name, 'tis stable as his steadfast throne, forevermore the same. I change, he changes not. The Christ can never die, his love not mine the resting place, his truth not mine the tie. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. Come now. Don't put it off. Tonight, if God is speaking to you, come. Maybe I speak to one and you feel trouble in your soul. Begin to feel your sin. My friend, that is a blessed thing. That is the Holy Ghost troubling your heart. Bringing you to Christ. My friend, come. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Put it off. It's a delusion. You don't need to come. It's a delusion. You do need to come. Enter into Christ tonight. Be saved tonight. Come now. You say, preacher, will he receive me? Yes. Him that cometh to me, the Lord said, I will in no wise cast out. Our Lord said, words recorded in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for the soul, unsaved friend. Rest for the soul that leads to eternal rest. But you must come. Without Christ in life, no hope. Without Christ in death, no hope. Without Christ at the judgment, no hope. But in Christ, a sure and certain hope. Saved in time. Safe in eternity. Safe
forevermore. Will you come? Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. And while every believer is just praying, oh, sinner friend, come to Christ. Just where you sit. God has spoken to you. Take the prayer of the publican in the temple. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Turn from that sin, friend. Flee to Christ. Be saved now. Be saved tonight. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in these moments as we draw near to the end of this broadcast, we commit all that's been said and done to Thee. We pray in these moments that the Holy Ghost will strive on, renew the wills, convince of sin, lead to faith in the great atonement, and bring dear souls tonight out of darkness into light. O God, give deciding grace. Bind the devil. Glorify your Son in these moments. O hear prayer, we pray. Take all that's been of Thee, let it live on in every heart. Take all that's been of this preacher, let it fall to the ground, for it's worthless. And until that day, O God, when all the church on earth is the church triumphant in heaven, until then, may grace, mercy, and peace from God and sacred Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with all redeemed by blood this night and forevermore. Amen.